Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, oh how I trust Him. This morning. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing that song, I Will Enter His Gates? Amen. Let's just join in with all of our hearts and give Him the glory.
I will enter His with thanksgiving in my heart.
I think that's going to be a little high. Sorry.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, oh, He has made me glad. And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Amen. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Once again.
I'll enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Glory. Let's sing that song, Take Up Your Cross.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day.
take up your cross and follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Cross, follow Him. Sing it again now. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count cross, take up your cross, follow Him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, oh, and they are saved. Blessed be His name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is, oh, a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord. I'm glad of that. A strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. Oh, sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. Give Him praise, glory. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, These Are the Days of Elijah? Let me try the same key. What key is that, sister? F? Let's try that. See? Okay.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, and these
are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are white as in your word. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. Let the trumpets call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Hallelujah. Give him worship. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, Every Day with Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with my Jesus, oh, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and he keeps me. Oh, he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with my Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Amen. Every day with Jesus, it's sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, oh, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and he keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting for. Oh, every day with Jesus, it's sweeter than the day before. Once again now. Every day with my Jesus, it's sweeter than the day before. Every day with my Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and He keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? Sounds so good when everybody's just giving it all. Amen. I love that. Why don't we change the order of the service this morning? We'll just mention a few needs that we have. I'd like to ask Brother Matt if he'd come and pray over these needs. We have a few folks that are away today. I want to remember the Jacksons and also the McCaffertys. They're not with us. Also, Sister Amber McCall said she would not be here today. So let's remember her. We want to remember Brother Wayne in prayer. I think he's not feeling well today. Don't have any other special needs at the moment. Wait a minute, but here's one. It says, please remember my son. I can't pronounce that. Timothy, I believe it is. My son Timothy, he was in a serious accident, and God spared his life, but has several broken bones and is in a lot of pain. Sister Margie. So let's remember that's a very special need in prayer. Amen. Thank God that spared the young man's life. My wife had a note to thank you for your prayers concerning my nephew and my dad. My dad's throat biopsy came back negative, and all the tests on my nephew came back negative. We thank the Lord for His mercy. Amen. Appreciate everyone's prayers in that situation. Also, we want to pray for Landon taking his, I believe he has some tests next week. So that's from Sister Mary. So let's remember Landon in prayer. Amen. Brother Matt, if you'd come at this time, maybe we could sing that song, When I Look Into Your Holiness.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, then I worship you. Voiced before you, Lord Jesus. Father, we give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for the testimonies, Lord. Those tests that have come back negative, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory, Lord Jesus. And on that same basis, Lord, we approach you for the needs that are presented before you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, for safety and for traveling mercies, for those families that are out traveling, Lord Jesus, the Jacksons and the McCafferty's, Lord. We pray that you would watch over and keep them safe till their return. Father, Lord, we pray for the needs of Sister Amber McCall, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would look on her with grace and mercy, Lord Jesus. And whatever her need may be, Father, Lord, may you administer to it completely, Lord Jesus, and thoroughly, Lord Jesus. And bring her back, Lord, in our midst, Lord Jesus, with a testimony, Lord Jesus, of your love and your healing and your saving power, Lord Jesus. Father, for Brother Wayne, who's out sick, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would just minister to him now in his time of need, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would give him strength in his spirit and in his body, Lord Jesus. Just administer complete healing, Lord Jesus, and complete strength for him. Father, for each and every other need that was mentioned, Lord, Sister Margie O'Dell's son, who was in the wreck, Lord Jesus, and has broken bones, Father. Father, we pray that you will minister to him, Lord Jesus, and his soul as well as his body, Lord Jesus. Father, may you heal him through and through, Lord Jesus. Make him a complete person in you. And Father, now to the continuing of the service, Lord, we pray that you would just continue to be in our midst and that you'll speak to every individual, Lord Jesus, in their heart. And Father, that you would speak to our lives and our needs. Father, what you would have us to know, Lord Jesus, to grow and to mature in you and to draw a little closer. We pray that you'll cause us to go away being a little nearer to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I believe we have a couple specials. As Brother Keith is preparing to come, I had an announcement to make. this is for all the parents. And it's from the library. So it says, parents, please help us get some missing books back to the library. There's several children's books that are out without the card signed. The homeschooling high school book is needed, and if it could be returned as soon as possible. So if anyone has that homeschooling high school book, they could please return that and remember to sign the books out of the office and just check around and see if any of them are at home. If you would return those kindly. Amen, Brother Keith.
Oh, my Abba, trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Sorrow, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping
my record bright,
watching
both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
I'm getting ready to leave this world
of sorrow.
I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl.
Keeping
my record right,
watching
both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Oh, I'm packing up.
And I'm packing up.
Getting ready to go.
Getting ready to go.
I'm packing up,
getting ready to go.
Getting ready to go.
I'm packing up.
I'm packing up.
Getting ready to go.
Getting ready to go.
I'm packing up.
Getting ready to go.
Getting ready to go.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of hell.
Keeping
my record right,
watching both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Both day and night,
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Appreciate that song, Brother Keith. Amen. And the family. Wonderful talent. Let's just sing a song. We have one more special by Brother Perez and the Sarah sisters. If they would be prepared to come very shortly, I'd like to sing that song, The Only Real Peace That I Have. Amen. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. All life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Once again now. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. I need you, and I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Amen.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sins would look on me with love and watch me rise again?
Who am I
that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours, I'm yours.
Whom shall I fear, whom shall I fear? 'Cause I am.
Brother Andy, if you would lead us in a word of prayer, brother.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so happy to be here this morning to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We ask, Lord, that you bless this class, bless the word as it goes forth, Father, and anything in our hearts that doesn't belong in the kingdom, Father, may the word cut it out, and we'll give you all the glory together. In Jesus' name, we ask.
Maybe we could sing that song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. It's going to be a little low, amen. Lord. What key are we in? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Once again now, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. Lord, I lift your name on high. Sing the chorus again. Oh, and you came from heaven to earth to show the way.
My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. Let's sing it again now, from the beginning. Lord, I lift your name on. Let's ring it out now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're glad that he's in your life today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad you came to save us. Came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. Sing it again now. Sing that chorus. Thank you, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in God's house this morning? Everybody smile and say that. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be in God's house today. This is my desire to honor you. Let's sing that before we have a word of prayer this morning. And let's just sing this from our hearts now. This is our desire to honor him and to give him praise this morning and thanksgiving for all that he's done. Hasn't he been good to us? I believe it, like Brother Branham said, if God never did one more thing for us, we'd still have eternity to praise him for all that he's done for us. Let's sing it this morning. This is my desire. Jesus, what a great prayer. And every one of us should pray, Lord, from our hearts today. Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way among us, and have your way, Lord, in our lives. Not only today, but as life unfolds and stretches itself out in front of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great memorial of your resurrection that we celebrate today. And Father God, the world thinks about a memorial day, Lord, for those that have fallen in battle. And Lord, that truly is a great thing. But Lord, we see the great conqueror who fell in battle, death of the cross, Lord, but then came forth victorious and changed the course of humanity forever and ever. We are benefactors of that today, Lord, and we thank you for your matchless grace and mercy, Lord. We ask and pray now that you would bless our gathering today and all that's said and done. We want to give you praise and glory and honor. Bless the reading of the word, we pray. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. We'll let you. It's Mitchell, isn't it? Good to have you with us today. Good to have you on the trumpet here. And may God bless you all. We appreciate our musicians. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord today. And it's an honor to be gathered with you today on this great Memorial Day. Memorial Day, as I've already mentioned, is a day when we set aside as a nation to honor those who died in battle. Veterans Day is different. It's always held on November 11th, and it pays tribute to all those who have served in the military. But today, we remember those who have fallen in battle. And it is a great honor for us to be here today. And I want you just for a moment here now, I want you just to relax and if you will, I'm going to change the order of the service just a little bit today. I'm just going to be a little bit relaxed. After 60 years, I think you're allowed one day where you can let your hair down, what's left of it, and speak from your heart to the people. Is that all right? So I'm going to do that today. So just take your theological guns and slide them back into your ecclesiastical holsters today. And just relax and bear with me as we look at a couple of things today. And I really, you know, I thought a lot about what I could say today and the things that I could approach, and many thoughts around my heart, but I just wanted to pass along a little wisdom that's been learned over the years that I want to give to you today, and I want to tell you three things that I've learned over the years, and that's what my purpose is today. We have, of course, this screen that's unavoidable today, and to let you know that on the 26th, Friday was Sister Tina's birthday. God bless you, Sister Tina. And May 27th is actually my sister-in-law's birthday, Brother Mark's wife, Maureen. It was her birthday, and then today is my birthday. May 29th is the Frames anniversary up in Pennsylvania, and we assume they're listening today, and may God bless them. On May 30th is Taylor's birthday. How old are you, Taylor? What? 11 years old. God bless you, Taylor. June 1st is Ben and Sharon McCafferty's 15th wedding anniversary. They slipped away for a couple of days on the coast to celebrate their anniversary, so we wish them all the best. And then the Haneys have an anniversary as well on the 2nd of June. And we sure miss the Haneys, and Sister Haney still, you know, associates with our church and is connected, and she receives the sermons by way of DVD, and we miss them being present, but she's not able to leave Brother Clarence for very long, and so we sure do miss them. I wanted to just pass this along to you this week. I didn't get a chance to send out an update, but we had an opportunity to have a very lovely dinner with Brother Mike Nutter from South Korea. This is Brother Mike right here. And this is his wife, and these are the four boys. They also had four boys, and we took them out for a meal, myself and my wife, and this is Lucas right here. And we had a great chance to fellowship and catch up with them. Brother Steve Coffey has been become very close to Brother Mike and the people over in South Korea. And obviously they were not able to be with us, but Brother Mike was a war orphan in South Korea and grew up in Boston. He was adopted by a set of American parents who lived in Boston, and his stepfather actually just passed away in January of this year. His mom's stepmother is still living there. And so Brother Mike was very fluent in English. And he went to the American military, and he worked in Seoul, South Korea, for most of his military career. translating battle plans between American and Korean generals. So he would sit in the room with the top brass, and they would exchange, battle plans and different administrative things that went on between the two armies. And God had prepared Brother Mike for sure to learn both languages very fluently, and also be aware of the American customs and traditions. So he was a prime person to translate the message when it came along. And now he ministers over there with Brother Saul. And just a really great brother and a friend. And it was really great to see them. He has two sons. This son, I think it's Samuel. I'm not sure. Simon is in the ROTC program in Virginia Tech. And this is James, who graduated from Virginia Tech with an engineering degree, and he works in Salem, Virginia. And this is Andrew, who just graduated from high school in Blacksburg, Virginia. So three of the boys live in Virginia, and Matthew works in New York City. And so you'll probably be seeing them a little bit more if we can get them to come down. They've made a connection with Brother Sean Martin's church, and they were there on Wednesday night. And they're actually, the whole family's actually in North Carolina this weekend. They're visiting friends and relatives in another part of North Carolina, on the other side, on the eastern side. And otherwise, I would have had them here for sure. But you probably see the Nutter boys. Just wonderful, wonderful group of young men. Very respectful and very Korean, and just fine young men. So we were delighted to have that opportunity to spend with them. Well, yesterday also was a memorable day for one member of this congregation and his family. All the emphasis for the last several months has been on his sister, but yesterday John Anthony Harwell graduated from high school in the NCHEA convention in downtown Winston-Salem yesterday. And so we were honored to go and be part of the ceremony and to be able to see him actually do it, walk across the stage. I was there, I saw it, and his mom and dad gave him his diploma in front of hundreds and hundreds of people there, and we were delighted for Brother John Anthony to come and do that momentous event. Now, I'm going to ask Brother John Anthony to come because we have a gift for him. We have half of a gift for him. I have another gift for him, but it just hasn't arrived yet, and we just ordered it a little bit too late. But here's a brand new Scofield King James Study Bible, and may God bless you. May you use it well. And I want to read a scripture for you, all right? Because I often, when somebody graduates, I think of a certain scripture. I thought this would be a fitting one for you, all right? This is just what I had in my heart. And he and I have been talking a little bit about, what's next and, what's going to happen in the future. And obviously, we don't know, but we want to make the best choices and plans, obviously, that we can, right? And so I was just thinking of this scripture today, and I wanted to share this. This is Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. And Isaiah gives this word to the people here. He says, "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They shall weep no more, and he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction," because sometimes that's what life brings, is difficulties for us, "yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." In other words, you'll see the word, you'll see my plan, and you see my desire for Israel. "And thine ears," now remember now, this is written to Israel, the people, but we are Israel. Okay, we are God's seed, and so therefore this applies to us as well individually. And he says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Lord, we pray that you would guide Brother John Anthony in the days that lay ahead. May your hand of protection be upon him. And Lord, may you speak to him in that little voice that very often you use and say to him, "Go to the right and go to the left." Stop him when he needs to be stopped, and urge him to go forward when he needs to go forward in faith. And Lord Jesus, we pray you'd be his guide and comforter In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's give him a round of applause. Brother John's going to get a license plate now. 2DN. 2DN. 2GO. Two down, two to go. Let me share this with you. This is in the process today. The saints in the Swahili-speaking world, which is part of Malawi, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, which is a very large chunk of population in the African subcontinent, they have the Church Age book already translated into their language, but they wanted to have the Revelation series, the 15 sermons that make up the Revelation series, in their language, in Swahili. They wanted to be able to study it out and not just from the Church Age book, which is edited. And so they wanted to have that translated themselves. The brothers over there have been working diligently. They are down to the last two sermons. They've got 13 out of the 15 translated already, and they're working on the last two. And we have supported that translation with another church. And it's exciting to see that come to an end. So what they have done now is they are now at the printers in Moshi, Tanzania, with the first seven volumes of the book being printed in a hardcover. And Sister Becky actually took the cover picture, and this is it. And this is not the way that the design is going to be, but the first book is at the printers, and when they're finished the translation of the second book, they're going to be sending that one to the printers as well. So it becomes a study volume of 15 sermons in two hardcover books, and they're just really, really excited about that. And we are excited to be able to help provide that for them. We're talking about $5,000 to $6,000 per volume, and so we have already wired the money directly to the printers, and it's gone. So they're in the process now of making that their plates and so forth, and they're printing as we speak here. So they're very excited. And let me assure you, they are just really excited. Brother Elias also has been in contact with me this week, and we've sent money over now monthly throughout 2017 in order for them to have their missionaries going out. Their missionaries are going out like a house on fire because they've been sitting still for a long while without the funds to go, and they're burning up the roads with that motorcycle, and they are traveling in all kinds of parts of the country. And Brother Elias is working on more mission reports to send to us, but they are really excited, and I can assure you that you're making an investment in this project of sending missionary money over to Tanzania every month. And let me tell you, it's just a great, great blessing to all those assemblies who don't have pastors and elders there to have ministers show up and come and minister to them on Sundays. And they stay around sometimes for a week or two and minister to the people. So they're excited, and pretty soon they'll be able to bring these books out to the people so they can study them as well. So it's a great blessing. Can I give you another blessing? In 2015, June 2015, we commissioned Brother Paulo in Portugal to translate, don't read this yet here for a second, to translate this little booklet called One Man in the Hands of God, which was written by Owen Jorgensen, and I put it together in this format, and we printed many, many thousands of them in English. And we got Brother Paulo to translate it into Portuguese for the people in Angola and Mozambique and other Portuguese-speaking parts of the world. And he did that, and we created a booklet that was printed in South Africa, near Johannesburg, South Africa. And we did 20,000 copies, 10,000 copies for Angola, and 10,000 copies for Mozambique. I have my friend Stephen Francis over in South Africa, Newcastle, South Africa. And he, this is all going to make sense in a second here, and he helped me to distribute, to pick up the 20,000 copies and then to distribute them in two different directions, because Mozambique's on one side, Angola's on the other side of Africa, and to get those in the hands of pastors and churches over there in both of those countries. And so this I mentioned it to you back in 2015, and then in 2016 they were actually translated, printed, and they were on their way. So it's taken that long to get this report back. but I want to show you this. There's a little video clip with this, but I didn't have it sent to the boys in time. But it just shows the African brothers in Angola, and they're actually printing and folding and stapling and trimming these booklets and so forth. The booklet doesn't look, it's actually this size. It's a little booklet you can put inside your Bible. And it spread in the justice in the nation of Angola. Now, my friend over there, Brother Stephen Francis, he got a hold of Brother Rodney Masami. And he does distribution, travels in that part of the world. And he loaded up his trailer. He took all of these books in his house and he loaded up his trailer and off he went to Angola. And this is the report that I want to send back to you here. The brother in Angola wrote and said, and I copied this and pasted it for you here so it's not corrected or anything. But he said, do you remember this booklet? That's what he's referring to. It is doing wonders in Angola. Hundreds are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have made 10 times what you sent to us. So we sent 10,000 and then they made 100,000 booklets. They copied this over and over and over again. They printed it right in their own home. We've made 10 times what you sent to us. I got permission from the brother in Portugal, which is Paulo. Pentecostal churches are being baptized. And we do this from my house, the printing. Denominations are in panic about it, as they say, these are the people of Branham. Brother Musami wrote back, and this is the text conversation they had. Wonderful, glory. Please collect or take photos. Brother Barry will be excited. I can also send more books to you. I would like to visit if God allows it. He said, yes, please. Brother Mutamba in Angola said, yes, please, we need them. And Brother Musami said, this is amazing. Brother Mutamba said, we do 500 to 1,000 books a day and then send them freely across the country. And a brother just told me that we have made more than 10 times what we received. That's 100,000. And we are translating it in local languages now. I am very happy to be the door it entered in Angola, like he was the brother who was contacted, so he brought him in there. He said, I know without a shadow of a doubt that many have already been saved getting this book. This brother just told me that we have made more than 10 times what we received. They're excited about that fact. And Brother Mutamba said, we are translating it in local languages now, and he said, this is so exciting. And Brother Mutamba said, definitely, may the Lord bless you for that. I'm very happy to be the door it entered into Angola. I know that without a shadow of a doubt, many are being saved already getting this book. And so they're just excited about this. But now, that's kind of how things work in Africa. You don't get an overnight result. It's not like we, send it out and it happens. But you're sowing seeds. And now these brothers take that and they multiply it and send it out in different languages and dialects. And they take the ball and run. Now, to me, that's the way it needs to be done. I don't need to be at the helm of everything that happens over there, but sometimes you just get the ball rolling. You just sow a little seed there. You make an investment and then let those brothers take it over there. And, I've never been to Angola. I've never, I don't know any of the brothers who were over there in Angola. None of them. But, when we get to glory and to meet some of those people over there and they'll come, I don't know if God will allow for people to take the message book that got them into the message and let them bring that to heaven or not. I've got mine. I'm hoping I can bring mine off in the glory over there. But, people over there will sometimes meet up with you on the other side over there. Just think about this now. Over on the other side in glory and work your way down. Say, yeah, I was in this church in America. Yeah, what church? I was in North Carolina. Yeah, what church in North Carolina? There's a lot of them. I was in Hickory Bible Time. And I go, oh, do you might know Brother Barry Cobb? Yes, I know Brother Barry. Yeah, we had these booklets that were given to us. And that's why I'm here. I think that's a great investment. I'd rather be investing than that than just about anything else I know. But let me take you now to Pakistan just for a moment here. This is Brother Anwar's brother, right? Who's in the printing press, and they're doing the color color match there for the cover of the book. Does God Change His Mind About His Word? And they're running it off a four color press here and getting the colors right on the booklet. I don't have one of the booklets here in front of me. But Brother Anwar was sharing some pictures with me where he was holding meetings from his place for the people over in Pakistan, right, just a week or two ago. And these people over there, they're pictured receiving the booklets over here. These are the booklets that he had in his hand in the printing press there. And they're just excited to be able to get the books over there and be able to receive them. And Again, that's work that Brother Anwar still continues to do in translating, sending translations over, and then they print it over there and distribute it. And they're excited to have that material in hand over there. And you know what? Despite all the trouble and all the difficulties that exist over in that country, the message is still going forward, and the message is still progressing. And to me, that's just exciting, because God doesn't need political correctness in order to get something done. He doesn't need, cooperation to get things done. God just knows how to get things done. He knows how to raise up the right people. And so these booklets are still being provided over there, and the people are still enjoying them, even with the illiteracy rate that they have over there. And this is exciting. This is a shot from the meeting that they have, and I guess we're still using screens over here and over there where they can see Brother Anwar ministering in their language over there, so that ministry carries right on. So even though the Taliban tried, they could not stop the voice of God from ministering to God's elect. And that's exciting. If you don't mind, let's stand to our feet this morning, and I'd like to just read a little word of Scripture. Take your Bible with me. If you don't mind, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. There are some verses of Scripture, some chapters in the Bible that are dedicated solely to one theme. There are not many. Matthew chapter 18 deals with forgiveness, and there are other places in the Scripture that are very exclusive. 1 Corinthians, Paul takes a chapter and deals with the gifts in the local body. Hebrews 11 is one of those chapters whereby God deals with the subject of faith. Now, let me just say to you before we read here this morning, I am well aware of the dinner we're going to have after service today. Because you know what? My office is connected to the air handling system that handles the kitchen. So everything that's going on in the kitchen winds up in my office. So I know we're going to have a dinner afterwards. So I'm going to be brief, and I just want to share some things with you. So you pull on the gift, and we'll just see what the Lord has for us this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11 now, it speaks of the subject of faith here, and we come all the way down to the end of the chapter where Paul highlights the testimony of various saints well known to us who had experiences with God in faith. And in 32, he concludes the chapter, and again, he's still speaking historically here. He says, and what shall I more say? He says, I could go on all day, in other words. You know, there's so many stories and so many testimonies of faith. But the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. These are your brothers. These are your sisters, aren't they? Of whom the world was not worthy, and they wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't receive the full value of all that God had for the body because they were still under the laws and the commandments of the Old Testament. So they had the good report. They had a good testimony. They were consistent, and they died in faith. But they received not the full value of the promise that God had for his people. Last verse, and this is where Paul switches now from historical to prophetic. And he says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The Lord will provide. If there's one thing that I've learned over the years of serving him and living for him, it is truly this, that the Lord will provide. And as you experience things in life and you go through life, you realize this is not just God's way of filling your wallet and filling your stomach, filling your church. This isn't just that, although God does that. I remember one time years ago, I think I may have told you, I remember years ago when I was literally scratching the bottom of the barrel, trying to make a living for my family, and trying to, as I was working full time, I was working more than full time, and I was ministering full time up in Ohio up here, and I got to the place where I just really got desperate, and I called out to God. And one day I went to the post office, and I looked in the post office, and there was one letter in there, and the letter was from Lee Vail. And in the letter was a short note and a check. The check was something like $3,200 or something like that. But it was an odd number. $3,217.48. It was some number like this. And I looked at the check and I thought, wow, that's strange. Now, to a guy who has nothing, you know, you're looking at this making sure it's made out to me. And, you know, it's, you're just holding it up to the light and marking it, you know, and all the rest of it. But I read the little note, and he said to me in the note, he said, most pastors of small churches, he said, just need one or two extra tithe payers in order to make ends meet. So he said, I took two tithe payers of average income in Ohio, multiplied their weekly salary times 52, and came up with an estimate, and then multiplied it by two, and this is the amount that I came up with. You understand what he said? And he said, then on the next paragraph, he said, in my life, I've learned, he said, the Lord will never give you more than you can bear, but he'll come real close. God bless you, Brother Vail. It's the only time he ever wrote to me. The Lord provides. He does that. Sometimes when you think there's no resources left, and you think there's nothing left that you can count on, and you don't know where to turn, God is mindful of our needs, and He watches over us. And He's able to satisfy. David said one time, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor received begging bread. And he prayed one time. He said, Lord, don't make me so rich that I would forget you, and so poor that I'd steal from my neighbor. And some way or another, God operates in that middle realm where most of us live, and we're thankful for how God provides. And He does that to us. And all of us probably, if you're over 40 here today, all of us could probably tell stories of how that God has provided in supernatural ways and unusual ways, and in ways that we never expected. But, you know, He showed up. And He just showed up right in time with the right thing for the right reason. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that all the days of our lives, because we don't forget those things. But I will tell you this, that the word provide means much more than just, you know, to fill a plate and fill a wallet. It embraces the thought of foreseeing, wherein God, who knows what's coming because He knows the future, and this is the quality that has been reserved only for God, that He can know the future. Nobody else knows the future. We can know the present and the past, but we don't know the future. God, who knows the future, is already aware of what's going to happen, and so He's able to put things in your pathway even before you walk down the path, that are going to be good for you, because He knows that's what you're going to need when you get there. And that's an amazing thing. And to me, that's the provision that I want to talk about today. That sometimes, you know, in your life, you've made choices and decisions, and you thought it was actually you. And it wasn't you at all. It was God knowing what you need, where you needed to be, and what you needed to do, or what you needed to become down the road, because God knew He was going to get you down a certain path and run into certain things. Let me tell you, folks, that's what this message really is. It's God's provision for us. It's Jehovah Jireh at work again, isn't that right? Because God knew we'd need a message so solid and so clear and so rich and so real and so true. God knew we'd need this at this particular time when deception would abound, right? And if it were possible, it could deceive the very elect. Had God not provided for us some better thing than what every other age has had in life? Isn't that true? I mean, that's probably the best example of God's provision. That God knew that when we come down to this age, when all the intellects come out, and all the intellects will make websites, and all the different ways of confusing people abound in this world, and all the different things now heap up at the very end, all the deception and all the false prophets and all the false prophecies, and all the people with feelings and super spiritual minds, and they all come in the last day, and they wind up to do nothing but only to deceive the very elect and to confuse you and to stop you. You can always go back to the message and you can say, but you know, this is what God said. And you know what else? This is what God vindicated. I remember being with Brother Lonnie Jenkins many times in the world in different situations, and ministers would come to him and they'd say, "But Brother Lonnie, how about this?" And they'd take their Bible or they'd take, different quotes, and they come to him and say, "Well, how about this and how about this? You know, the Bible says here and then it says over here and then it says somewhere else. And, I can preach, even though I've got two living wives. I can preach. So the Bible says this and the Bible says something else over here, and we're forgiven and we're justified as though we never did in the first place, and blah, blah, blah." And they would lay out their case to Brother Lonnie. I watched Brother Lonnie many times. He just kind of sit there and listen. He wouldn't make any expression. He was good at that. And he would just sit there and kind of listen and look at them. And in the end of it, he'd say, "You know what? You might be right." But he said, "You don't have the vindication. Brother Branham had the vindication. And Brother Branham says something contrary to what you're saying." So he'd say, "I'm going to stay with the vindication until God shows me something different." There's a lot of ways that logically we might be able to make the message say whatever we want it to say. There's a lot of ways that we could do that. But God provided the vindication with the message and the messenger back years ago. And you know what? That's pretty much indisputable. So if you want to argue with the message, you're going to need to argue with God, because God was the one who put his seal upon this message and said, "It's right. This is from my hand. I'll prove it to you." And gave us supernatural signs and wonders, which are still happening among the elect and happening in different parts of the world. But God made sure that we understood that this ministry stood out, and that we can have confidence in this message. And look, that doesn't mean that God has finished speaking, but I will tell you this. If somebody wants to come and displace what Brother Branham said, they're going to have to come up with a greater measure of vindication. Don't come to me with your opinion, and don't come to me with your idea, and don't come to me with something that you feel, or God showed you, or you had in a dream, or something else. Come to me with the Scripture, which is what Brother Branham did every time. He said, "Even if I go off the Word," he said, "you stay with the Bible," because he said that's God's truth. So God provides for us, doesn't he? How many can say amen? Amen? Let me hear you this morning. How many can say amen that God provides? God absolutely provides. Let me tell you, He knew who you ought to marry. He knew where you ought to be. He knew in this stage of life where I ought to be. And He knew where you ought to be. And He knew who I should marry. And He knew all of the different pieces of the puzzle that were not there. They were still in the box. Hey, they were not put together. They were all still in the box. But God had placed them all in the box, and He knew eventually where they'd all go. And when you have that consolation, you know that God knows what He's doing. You can rest in His leadership and His providence, right? And this is what Abraham had. He had a revelation that God was truly Jehovah Jireh. He was the provider, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when God told me to have this child and gave me a body with which to have this child, and my wife gave her a body with which to have this child because she couldn't have children, and God did all of that supernaturally, and then He tells me to offer that child on the mountain there. Abraham believed somehow, some way or another, that God knows exactly what He's doing. And we know, by the ministry of this prophet today, that every name of Jehovah is actually a compound redemptive name, meaning that it has more than just one meaning. So it means more than just that God will provide. But Abraham also believed that he is the resurrector. He is the resurrection and the life. Isn't that right? So Abraham knew that if my son, who is given to me by promise, goes down in death, God not only is able to raise him up again, but God's able to provide the sacrifice as a substitute, which is what actually happened in the Garden of Eden when God put the lamb in place of Adam and Eve's sons. Are you following me? So Abraham didn't know the future, but he knew the God of the future, and that made it okay for Abraham to follow in obedience. And you'll follow in obedience when you understand that somebody knows the future and knows what's happening and knows what's actually going on. God knows what's going on way up the road. That's why God allows us to encounter the right thing in life and then allows us to be able to follow it in faith, just like all the rest of those people over there. But remember now, Paul tells us here in the book of Hebrews that God actually did reserve something better for God's people that the other people of other ages never had. They never enjoyed, and they never came to the full value or the full observation and practice of the promises like we have been able to do in our day. And God's allowed us to be able to enjoy that. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Brother Branham said in 1962, he said, then in this nervous and neurotic age that we're living in, the doctors don't have the answer, but God has the answer. And that's what we want to talk about. God's got the answer. He is the answer. And Christ is the answer to every problem we've got. Even if a man gives you the answer. Hello? God's got the answer to every problem we got, but sometimes God will use a man to give you that answer that God has in his mind. Sometimes God will use a pastor to give you the advice that you need, even though God could easily give it to you in a dream. But sometimes God will use that ministry standing in the pulpit. If all things are set up correctly and operating correctly, sometimes God will give you... How many of you have gotten any answers here? In your time here, how many of you have ever gotten an answer to something? Look, I'll tell you what. I've answered my own questions. I've answered my own questions because I know how it works. And sometimes, you know, you can come with puzzling questions and things that you're not sure about, and just standing here and going through the Scripture, God can reveal Scripture to me right while I'm reading it and preaching it to you. So we're all subject to this, and God has a way of providing answers because He's a provider, right? At heart, He's a provider. And He knows what you have need of in order to know what to provide. God just doesn't provide stuff, and God just doesn't provide entertainment. He doesn't just provide preachers, but when God puts a real man of God in a place to be able to minister to His elect, God's got something for that elect because He's not in the business of entertaining. He's got something to say, and He's got an answer to every problem that we have. Do you believe that today? It is I, 1960. I'd say, I'd like to have a testimony of somebody who was saved by His grace. Brother Bam would say this in his church. I'd like to have a testimony of somebody who was saved. Show me somebody who's been saved. That's what he'd say in his church. And somebody would jump up, thank you for the hands that just were raised. I'm glad some of you are. And Brother Bam said, everybody wants to say what they know about Him if you've ever known Him. Everybody wants to talk about Him if you've ever known Him. He said, oh, there's something about it you do want to tell everybody because you know what you're talking about. You know what you're talking about. It doesn't depend on age. It doesn't depend on education. It doesn't depend on human ability. It just depends on whether you met him or not. And if you meet him, let me tell you, it's like Billy Sunday said, that a spark will teach you a whole lot more about dynamite than a library full of books. And when you experience it, I'll tell you what, there's really, really nothing like it. Really nothing like it. I had a great big brush pile in the back of our house up there in the field. And we haven't been able to light fires for a long while because it's been so dry. And then all of a sudden, you know, the monsoon season kicked in. And I thought, hey, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go up there and light the fire. And I had William and Eliza, I think, were with me at the time. And I said, hey, I'm going to light the fire. So I went out and got me a 5-gallon bucket of diesel and poured it all over that dude. And I'll tell you what, I was ready to go. We were ready to, you know, go get the marshmallows. Hey, you could get a 10-pound roast and roast it on a fire with 5 gallons of diesel fuel. So I got up there and wrote that. And, you know, just before that happened, there's a wood pile that was fairly close to the brush pile because the brush pile was made of branches and stuff that came off the trees that I cut up and had piled up over here. And we were up in the corner one day having a picnic with the grandkids, and my wife said, my goodness, those two piles are pretty close. I said, don't worry. Don't you worry about that at all. Don't give that another thought. I got this under control. So I went up there with the diesel and poured it all over that thing, and I saw that diesel take off. And you know what? When I lit that fire, I'll tell you, absolutely, without any lie at all, when I lit that fire, the wind was blowing this way. And 2 seconds after I lit that fire, that wind was shifted and went that way. And guess what was on the other? Guess what was in that direction? The wood pile. You got it. So I'm looking at this thing and I said, oh, it'll never catch. It's too far, you know. I mean, I'd never go down to my wife and have to say, you were right. You know, of course, no husband really wants to do that. Even though it may be true, he never really wants to do that. But after a while, she saw me running across the field and getting my truck and filling up buckets full of water because the whole wood pile was all of a sudden turning black and there were flames coming up out of it. And so I got up there and I put out the fire. I mean, it was so hot that I couldn't even get near the logs. I had to throw the water in from a distance over the top of the logs and finally get them doused a little bit. And I thought, whew, that's good. And so the wind kept blowing that direction and I thought, well, it's all right. Let's go have supper. And after supper, William came out on the deck and he said, wow, Papa, you got 2 fires up there now. That's great. You lit one, now you got 2. I said, no, I put that out. He said, well, why is there 2 fires burning up in the field up there? And that thing had never been out. And I'll tell you that sometimes, you know, your experience of something is a whole lot more than the book learning of something. And that's the way. I said all of that to say this. This is the way God is. He doesn't want you to just sit here and try to retain all the words that I say and the speed at which I say them. God wants you to have it in heart. He wants you to know Him by experience. He wants you to have that spark rather than a library full of books about theology and about men's ideas about God. God wants you to have that spark. And Brother Branham says something when you've received Christ, your Savior, and the Holy Spirit's come into your life. You know something's happened, for you were there. And it was you that it happened to. And he said they couldn't explain it away because they can't explain it away because you know. And there's one thing that's really true about the elect. You can never explain away this message. You can never intellectually spoil someone's revelation, because a revelation can't be spoiled by intellect. A revelation is a revelation. You can be tempted and you can be persuaded of different things and so on, but you can never intellectually dissolve somebody's revelation, because only God gives a revelation. And if you got a revelation, nobody can take it away. Right? God deposits something in your heart. Let me tell you, it's there. As the Eagle Stirs Her Nest in 1959, I really like this testimony, because it's my testimony. And Brother Bram said that's a pitiful sight when he was up in the Cincinnati Zoo and saw the eagle in there. He said, to see human beings that's helpless and they're bound by sin, flopping around from beer parlor to beer parlor, from place to place, from amusement to amusement, trying to find satisfaction, when God alone has the satisfaction that can satisfy them. There is only one source for satisfaction and the quenching of that thirst in your life, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. There's nothing else will do it. God made a man to thirst after Him. He said the reason that man has something in him to thirst is that God put that thirst in you. In the same way that, you know, little girls are little girls and they want to grow up to be bigger girls and then eventually to be mothers and wives. Let me tell you, that's something that God put in them. They're not putting something on. That's something that God put in them. And God put a thirst in us to know the living God and to be able to experience God and to have peace in our lives. Really, that's what God wanted us to have, was peace and joy and contentment, right? That's the way God made man originally. And Satan spoiled that in the Garden of Eden. But God wants you to have peace and joy and contentment. And Brother Bram said it's a terrible thing when you see somebody bound in the cage of sin and they can't get out. But they're still looking. Despite the fact that they can't get out, they're still trying. Like that eagle was banging himself against the bars trying to get out. And he couldn't get out and he was trapped by that. But that didn't stop him from wanting to get out. And if you're living in sin, you're living in religious sin, you're living in whatever kind of sin you're in, let me tell you, you still try, because God put something in you to force you to try to get to a place of peace and a well that satisfies. But you can't satisfy it with the things of the world. You'll never be satisfied till God takes that place. And let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you today that I know that that's true. Because I tried everything there was to try. I smoked everything that could burn. Drank everything that was available to me. Did it before I was legally able. Did it after I was legally of age. Did it all, went there, looked for something that was real. And now, when people come to me from around the world and they seek wisdom, I just sometimes, you know, I just put my hand over my heart and I just say, if they only knew. If they only knew. And then let me tell you what I'm saying. Let me finish the sentence. If they only knew that the wisdom that I give anyone comes from God, because I never had it in the first place. And so what I learn by experience, and what we learn the hard way. And learn by, you know, a death to self and then life in Christ. And let me tell you, I didn't know anything about how to live a Christian life and never grew up in a Christian home. And so therefore, what I know today and what I have to give today is what God's given me and not what I've learned somewhere in some school. Because this was the state I was in when God got a hold of my heart and brought me into the faith. And I've never looked back. I've never thirsted for anything ever again. I told you before. I used to really feel and know what loneliness felt like before I knew the Lord. I knew what it was like to stand out in the crowd and be different and be rejected and not be a part of what other people were doing. And when people would run to excess and I would be invited to go along with them, and there were some things that something in me said, don't do that and don't go there. Even, you know, in matters that would have mattered later in my life. You know, opportunities for relationships that were there for me. And I just, you know, you turn away from them and you didn't know why. And you just walked away from certain things and didn't know why. And now I understand that really it was the hand of God watching over that predestinated seed, even when it was not quickened. Even when we were dead in sins, He loved me enough to prevent me from doing certain things and allow me to be able to come into the message in a certain state. And I remember when I was going to get married to Sister Becky, and my father, my future father-in-law, sat down and talked to me. And I remember the talk very well, because all through the talk, he had a hammer in his hand. He just happened to have a hammer in his hand when I wanted to talk to him about marrying Sister Becky. And he asked me certain questions about my life. And I was started to sweat bullets, because he wanted to know if I had been married before, and he wanted to know if I'd been engaged before, and he wanted to know certain things about me, you know, that that he needed to settle, and that he wanted to make sure, because he didn't want his daughter to get messed up with some renegade who had a history a mile long and 2 miles wide and so forth. And he was, let me tell you, I was sweating bullets, and because I knew what he didn't know, and I knew all of what had taken place. But by God's grace, I could successfully say, no, I didn't do that. Did everything else on either side, but I didn't do that. And I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. And when I look back at that conversation, I realized that was not my choice. That was not my intent. I believe that was the grace of God that was leading me even when I was a sinner. Because if you're predestinated for a certain thing, you're not predestinated the day you give your heart to Christ. When you're predestinated, God drops something in your heart at birth, your natural birth. And God watches over that to the fulfillment of His word about you all the way from birth to death. Right? Do you believe that? You know what that is? That's God providing. But let me tell you something. That's God providing for you too. Because if I had not met certain qualifications, if I got messed up in marriage or got messed up in other ways, I wouldn't be able to be a pastor and be able to stand in front of you. So, you know what? You'd have some other fellow standing here this morning and ministering to you. What a different path it would be. What a different life it would be had not God watched over all of us and the formation of Christ in all of us to bring us to where we are today. Brother Branham said those little children, those young men, he said, making confessions out there, tears running down their cheeks and out of the rock and roll parties and things. He said, that's what God wants to see. Not association with this message, and not just familiarity with this message, and not just learning the dress codes and the quotes of the message, but God wants you to have that real, heartfelt experience. And I remember December 23rd, 1979, when I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ up in Canada, up here. I remember that day going into the, after the service and going into the little, they had a little restroom in the back of the church there. And I went in and there was nothing in there, but just a little toilet was there, a little commode. And I just got ready for being baptized. And I was just standing there myself. And, you know, I had spent 22 years just kind of wandering around in sin and flopping around looking for something real. And this I knew was different, but I remember kneeling down in that little restroom and I said, I just prayed a very simple prayer because that's all I knew how to pray back then. And I just said, Lord, I said, I've tried a whole bunch of different things in life, but if this is real, I'm going to ask you to show me that this is real. Give me the proof. Give me the evidence that this is real. And Lord, if it's real, just make me faithful to it all the days of my life. Before I came out this morning, and I knelt down by my chair, and I just basically prayed the same thing, and just instead of asking God to make it real, I thanked Him for making it real over all those years, because that's what He's done. That's what God wants to see. He doesn't want to see just the fact that, you know, you've been able to hang around this message for all your life. He wants you to be able to know Him, and that's a big difference. And He said, that's the purpose. The healing can wait just a minute, the healing of the body in the prayer line. He said, we want healing of the soul. And if you get healed of your body, possible, he said, if you live long enough, you'll get sick again. But if you get healed of your soul, you'll never be sick again. You have eternal life. Now, I'm not going to go back over my testimony, but just to say this, that in the years that I traveled, before I knew the Lord and before I knew anything about this message and before I knew anything about a King James Bible, I remember going to the places that were pivotal to my faith as a Catholic, and one of them was in Lourdes, France, where they believed that Mary had touched the water from the rock and water had come out from it. And it's a very, very, very important place to a Catholic, and all Catholics who were in that area would go to Lourdes. And as we were there, we were not religious teenagers, but as we were traveling through Europe, we happened to be near Lourdes, and we had a Eurail pass, meaning that we could get on and off the train wherever we wanted to. And so since we were passing through the town of Lourdes, we stopped and we went to see the place where the water came from the rock. And here's a statue of Mary up here, and down in here, a little bit behind in here, is where the the rock was, and there's a crucifix right there. This is a very, very popular spot. People come from all over the world to see the water flowing out of the rock because that's where they believe that the Lord appeared to Mary. Mary appeared to some nuns who were there, and she touched the rock and water came out from it. And God allowed me to be able to look at that scene and be able to see that. And I thought, wow, you know, I was kind of had goosebumps all over me because I was at this. I heard about this place all my life. And I thought, wow, what a fascinating moment to be here and to be able to see this. And all the people who were lighting candles here for the dead, they were lighting candles so that novenas could be said for the souls of those that were in purgatory, hanging over the flames until they got cleaned up enough to go to heaven. This is very normal. It might seem humorous to you, but it's very normal to me. And I looked at this scene from where we were, where you're looking at right here, and I thought, wow, this is really something. I want to see that rock. I'm the type of guy, I want to see the rock. I want to see the water coming out. And when I went up there, I excused myself and pushed through the line and got in right by the rock and leaned in. And when I leaned in, there was a little dugout place there, and there was a pipe, a water pipe. And I thought, no. After all these years and all the candles that have been lit for my dead grandfathers and grandmothers, I said, wow, you mean this is just a pipe that's there? And I looked around, and sure enough, there was no other water coming from any other rock. It was coming out of the pipe. And I thought, what a lie. Right here I was a Catholic lad. And I said, what a lie. And I looked around as if to say, like, why are all you people still so excited about the water? These are nuns right here who have come from somewhere. And I said, why are you so excited about the water coming from the rock when it's coming from a pipe? So it probably never came from Mary. It came from a pipe. But now they make millions and millions of dollars on this water coming out of the rock. And in the previous place here, the Pope actually had this church built right over the site. The water from the rock is over here, on this side over here. And they built this because so many people come for pilgrimages all over the world to come to there. And so I looked at this, and looking at the rack of candles, you can see the melted wax that's underneath here. And what they would do is take this wagon, and as the wax melted, there was a pipe right here. See it? It's kind of like a line. And the melted wax would run down the pipe and go around the side of the mountain. So I went around the side of the mountain, like the curious kind of person I was. I went around the side of the mountain. And here were these French guys taking all the melted wax and pouring them into molds and making new candles, and they'd put them over their shoulder like this, and they'd walk back out and put them on the rack. And I thought, they put them in this wagon right here, and they bring them back, fill up the rack. You had to pay money in order to burn a candle like that. And then as they burned down, all that wax ran down, they built new candles and come back again. And I thought, what a lie. And I'm saying that to say that I walked away from here. I told the other guys that were with me, I said, let's get out of here. We never talked to anybody. We never talked to any of the authorities, but we didn't really need to because we kind of figured out, excuse me, what was going on. And my faith in the church had taken a real blow. And I realized that behind the scenes, behind the facade, there was something very wrong with this picture. There was something not right at all. And I thought, what am I doing believing in something like this, which is just really based on a lie? From there, from France, we went across Europe and then wound up coming down to Rome. This will be a familiar sight to some people that are here. But I was up on top of the dome, St. Peter's Church, and looking out. And this is the shape of a key. And this is where the key of faith is for all faiths of the world. I eventually believe that all people will come back to the Catholic Church. And had the audience with the Pope. And this is the invitation. I still have it. 25th of January, 1978, and I was number 99. There was only 100 people allowed in the audience. And we were in there with Pope Paul VI before he passed away. And I remember being in there and listening to him and all of the different things that I saw in the Vatican and went on in the Vatican. And I remember as a Catholic, this is an exciting thing. But my point is simply this, is that as I look beneath the surface of all of these things, after the experience in Lourdes, and I believe God allowed me to see the things that I saw there on purpose, I began to question things that could be questioned. And I began to look below the surface and began to see that this was really not as sound as what I thought it was and what my parents believed that it was all the time. Years later, my mother, when she came out of the Catholic Church and came into the message, she had one question that was very, very, very important to her because she had believed that her parents were in purgatory all of these years, hanging over the flames of hell. had said novenas and bought mass cards and paid money for their souls for years and years and years, preserving them from the flames of hell. And when she was coming into the message and all of this was dismantled for her as well, she asked the priest, she had the priest come down to the house, and she asked the priest, she said, is purgatory real? Is it actually a real place, and it is a real true place where people go? And the priest looked at her and said to her with a straight face, and I'll never forget the face Mom had when the priest said this. He said to her, well, Mrs. Coffey, that's really just a consolation for the living. So in other words, to give the living people a little bit of hope. And what he didn't say was to get a little cash from the living. We've invented this story about purgatory, but it isn't a real place at all. Because when people die, we know where they go, right? They go one place or the other. And so we were able to see beneath the surface. I'm saying this for a reason. Let me go a little bit further. Jeremiah chapter 7, and this is a more of a lengthy reading, and I won't take all the time to do it. But God allowed Jeremiah to be able to stand and declare or announce or proclaim the word that God had given to him. And God said to him in verse 2, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, that enter into these gates that worship to worship the Lord. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. So from the previous picture I showed you to this picture, this is what God had called me to do, was to go and proclaim the word of the Lord to all those who come into the house of the Lord. We all have different ministries. We all have different jobs to do within the kingdom. This is the man whose son baptized me in the church where I was baptized, and this was taken approximately in 1981 when I had dark hair. And Brother Cater now has gone on to be with the Lord. But from those early days, and this is the beginning of the life that I like to talk about, God had called me to do something for him that was of consequence. So in the second message, Brother Branham, second paragraph, he said, that's my message, he says, has been all along, is the Word of God. That's my message, is the Word of God. My message isn't William Branham, and my message isn't about my kingdom. My message is the Word of God. He said, we must hold to that regardless of what other things take place. Always stay with that Word. Somebody say amen. Always stay with the Word. He lets it not just happen overnight. But we're the one that gets in a hurry, but God is never in a hurry. So God knows how it's going to come out. God knows how it's going to be. God knows them that are His. Amen? And He said, you just stay with it, and God does not allow everything to happen overnight. There are transformations that take place in your life that take years, and some even take a whole lifetime until God has finished dealing with us, and then He takes us over on the other side. He takes us home. A lot of people think that, well, you know what, I can even live the way I want to live in this life, and then when I die, I'll just go to heaven. I don't need to be too serious about God's principles and God's word on this side, because, let's read what Brother Branham said. The prophet said gross darkness would be upon this people, and it is certainly the truth. He's talking about the last days people. It seems like gross darkness has settled upon the people till they think the only thing, now this gross darkness then affects people's thinking. It has settled upon the people till they think the only thing there is to do is to go to church and be a pretty good person and put your name on the book and some little, in other words, you know, you would join, you associate, you in other words, you come to all the meals. That's what he's talking about, right? You come to all the church dinners. And some little mysterious thing. And then when you die, God will twist the key when you die and change that spirit in you to Him. He said, you're mistaken. When you die, that spirit that's on you, that's the way you'll be forever. So I say this because I want not only you, but I want God to be able to lift the lid on my life and look in and see not a bunch of corruption, but the real thing. When I lifted the lid on the Catholic Church, I saw nothing but corruption, years and years of corruption, and a lot of dead people and a lot of blood. But when God lifts the lid on my life, I want him to look in and say, there is a real, genuine seed of God. There is a Son of God right there. Yes, he made mistakes, and yes, he turned red in the face, and yes, he forgot this and forgot that, but there's a real genuine Son of God right there. And if anything about my testimony that I want to have consistent, I want to be real. I want to have the real thing. And you know what? I just don't want to go through the religious motions of living a Christian life. I want to have the real thing, so that life is lived through me, and not me trying to live it, not me trying to hold on, but it's Him in me holding on to me. Lord, lift the lid of my life and let there be something real in there. Let me leave you with three things that I want you to remember. First of all, what God is doing in our time is true. And it is important. This is what I've come to know. I'm sure of this, that this message is true. Somebody say amen if you believe that. This message is of God. I believe the Bible is true. I believe every word of it. We have nothing to fear. Nothing at all to fear that comes out of the Bible or the message. Nothing at all to hesitate on. Nothing to fear at all. I will say this, that many times my understanding has not been always accurate. But I do believe that the message is still right. Thank you. Even if I don't understand it, I believe the message is right. Everybody? What God is doing in our time is true, and it's important. No matter how many people walk away from this message, no matter how many people find fault with it, no matter how many people would attempt to discredit Brother Branham, I believe what God has done in our time is true, and I believe it's important. It's either right or it's not right. And it's either got rapturing faith and going to get us out of here, or it's not, one or the other. I'm going to bet the farm. I'm not a betting man. But I'm going to invest everything in the fact that it's right. I believe that it's right. And if you hang around here long enough, you'll find out that I believe in the message, and you'll hear us talking about it and preaching it. But again, it's not good enough just to mouth the words. We've got to live what it is that we believe. We've got to live what we know is true and right. Second thing is this. This is what I've learned in my years on this earth. What men say about what God is doing in our time is unimportant. Because lots of people have lots of opinions about what they think God is doing. Lots of people have lots of ideas that are even contrary to God's ideas. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter what I think about what God is doing in our time. Because at the end of the day, God's going to have His way. What God is doing in our time is true and it's important. And no matter what God does, there always will be opposition. Because that's what Satan's job is. And even though Satan personally might not stand and speak, he has his voices in the earth. And he has his operatives in the earth. He has his angels in the earth. And many times they come like ministers of fire. And so therefore, there will always be objections to what God is doing. There will always be criticism about what God is doing. There will always be people who will slander God's servants. There will always be people who will find fault with the truth that God brings and vindicates. But you know what? That's unimportant. What is important is what God is doing, because it is true and it is right. And it is important. The third thing I would say to you is this. Fall in love with Him and His Word. Because it's important for you to know Him and to fall in love with Him. It's important for you to have a relationship with Him individually, because you're going to have that in order to be able to stand in the last day. But I believe this, it's not just good enough to have a mushy, gushy feeling about Jesus and about all of the things you think about when you think about Jesus. It is not just enough to be around where God's people are. It's not just good enough to be around where Brother Branham's message is. I believe it's important for us to familiarize ourselves with, to learn and obey God's Word. Because to me, one of the greatest satisfactions in life, even when nothing else works, one of the most satisfying feelings that I have is when I can go to God's Word and just let the Holy Spirit take me through it and watch it blend together and weave a picture that no artist in this earth can paint. I think you have to fall in love with Him really to understand His Word. But you have to fall in love with Him and His Word. And no matter how far out, listen to me, I'm almost done. Listen to me. No matter how far out, how far away we are from 1965 when God took His prophet home, those tapes are still worth listening to. Those books are still worth reading. Those messages are still worth translating and sending all over the world. Those SD cards are worth reproducing and giving them to every believer in the world who would love to hear that voice and be able to read those sermons. Because what God did in this last day is true and it's important. And if you believe that, it's important enough for you to disregard what people will say contrary to it. But it's also something that's important enough for you to spend your life's resources on and your ministry on and your time on getting it to all the people of the world who want to hear it. And the people in the world who haven't heard it and haven't had the opportunity to hear it. I think it's important enough for us to invest in the rest of the world being able to hear what we enjoy so freely. Because all of us can get the message for free. You can just go down to the library there and get the message. You can go to Brother Jeremy and he'll give you a card. Sister Frieda, I'll give you a card with every single sermon on it. But there's so many other people in the world who can't do that. And I think the message is important enough. I think what God has done in our time is important enough for us to be able to provide the resources we have so freely to other people in the rest of the world. I've spent a lot of resources on doing that. And you know what? I still look for opportunities to be able to do that more in the world. And to be able to, you know, have the opportunities to be able to find grounds where people don't have the message and they're able to have it in their own language and have it in good quality and have it in resources and media forms like we have on their phone or in print form or on their computers or whatever else. It's amazing to watch people, and I've seen this so many times in my life, people where, you know, in their villages and in their homes, they don't have running water and they don't have electricity, and you give them something like a laptop, and it has all the sermons on it of Brother Branham and has things in their language on there. You ought to see the expression that they have on their face, and I believe in glory you'll see those people and meet them over on the other side. It doesn't make me great because a lot of the resources that I give, that I use in order to accomplish this are given to me by other people. And then, you know, we pass those things on. I become a conduit, a channel whereby God has allowed me to be able to have that stuff and to be able to pass it on. Because you know what? I think it's important enough for us to invest our time and resources and money and everything else. If you believe, number one, and all the other things really become consequent to that. If you believe the message is true and important, then it doesn't really matter what number two is, right? It doesn't matter what people say about the message. And if you believe number one is right, then it's easy to fall in love with God's Word. And it's easy to invest in making sure that everybody gets an opportunity at hearing it. Brother Branham said, don't fool with prescription, you'll die. They make it so weak today till it's nothing but a denominational water. But brother, there's a genuine anointing, there's a balm in Gilead. It's for the healing of the soul. Take the prescription just the way it's written. God is obligated to His Word and not obligated to the creed or the dogma or the denomination. He's obligated to His Word. Do you believe that? Amen. Let me leave you with two little statements here that Brother Branham gives, and I want to just conclude with this. Brother Branham said, God created me a revival. And let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger and make me to thirst. And created, Lord, that what is needed in me. What a great prayer. Create in me a revival, Lord, and make me to hunger, make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, what is needed in me. I don't know what's needed in me, but I believe that He does. God, will in me Thy will to do. Sister Becky, if you'd come on. God, will in me Thy will to do. God, put in me a desire to do Thy will only. Let me be sold out to that, Lord. Create in me, Lord, a greater hunger. Create in me and this church, Your body, create in us the spirit of Your sons and daughters. Make us real, Lord. Make us real. We love You, Father. Give us of Your Spirit. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? I wonder, could we just sing a little chorus, and I'd like to pray for you today. Because this, to me, is my prayer. I trust it'll be your prayer. Lord, will in me Thy will to do. Make us real. I don't want anyone to come and lift the lid on this church and look in there and just see a bunch of corruption. I don't want anyone to lift the lid on my life and see a bunch of corruption. I don't want the Holy Spirit to take a look in there. But Lord, when You look at me through the blood of Christ, and I want You to see the real thing. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessings upon this assembly, Lord. Not only my friends, not only my family, but Lord, those who are the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I consider, Lord, a great and awesome responsibility to be faithful to them. But Lord, may we all in turn be faithful to your word. Faithful, Lord, to everything you tell us. I ask, O God, that you would bless this assembly, Lord, not necessarily in size or resources, but, Lord, you would bless us with the richness of the revelation of truth. That, Lord, you would give all of us that heart that stands for this word, no matter what wind blows against us. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, be real to us. May you help us, Lord, in our times of need. And, Lord, may we lift our hands and rejoice over the blessings you bestow upon us. I thank you, Lord, for my years of life and my lovely wife and family, Lord, the boys you've given me and their families. Father God, I've been blessed beyond measure. And I ask now, Lord, your blessing upon our fellowship today. May, Lord Jesus, you minister to each and every soul and bless our conversation. And all that's done for you, Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified in it all. Because we are all examples of your grace, your saving power. Bless those who are sick, Lord. We remember Brother Wayne today, Lord. And those who are away, we commit them into your care. And thank you for your mercies to us. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. We miss Brother Wayne today. We miss Brother Wayne at times like this. But I ask Brother Steve to come up and just have a final word here today. Thank you. May God bless you.
Bless you, everybody. Well, in Brother Wayne's absence, since he is not here, he's usually the one who does this. But seeing that it's a very special day, it's Brother Barry's birthday today. I don't know if you knew that. It is your birthday.
It is.
It's his birthday today. It's May 28th. And I was thinking, you know, as he was speaking and what he was saying and all the different things that he was going through, it's always amazing to me the impact that one person can have. And that's the same in government, in business, and in church. The impact that one person, one individual, can have. And I think if there was anybody in the world who exemplifies this, it would be Brother Barry. And seeing that this is his birthday, I think we can all together brag on him a little bit. I think if there was anybody in the world that could be the fulfillment of Revelations 10, 8 through 11, when John, a type of the bride, was to take the book, consume it in himself, and not just keep it to himself, but prophesy again to the nations. That was the way that the message would get from the angel to John to all the other Johns out there. And Dad, Brother Barry, who we can all say is pastor, friend, who I have the privilege to say is father, is a direct fulfillment of that scripture, Revelations 10, 8 through 11. Many of us would not be here if it wasn't for him. I have a feeling Brother Wayne and Sister Faye would still be here fighting away if Brother Barry had not come here. But I think we can all say that we're here because of him, and we have grown as a result of him and his faithful labor for the many years that he's been here, and we can say thank you to him. We are not saved by him, by no means, but we were turned to the one who could save us, who could grow us, who could change us as a result of Dad's ministry. And I think that's the amazing thing. And to me, that is an example of a man who loves the Word. He's not perfect by any means, by his own admission. But just as a result of living by the Word in the best way that he knew how, we are where we are today. And I think that is a wonderful thing. You've heard the stories. You've heard his testimony. But us here have the privilege of saying he is our pastor and our friend. So we're proud of him today. We're proud to say that and those things. And we have a celebration in your honor. And it's a birthday celebration. So after we're done here, I'll pray for the food right now. And then after we're done here, you can immediately go out and all the food is ready and we can have a great time of fellowship. And we've got a few festivities lined up, but we'll have a great time and we'll pray that we have a lot of fun, that the weather holds up, and that we can just give Dad a little bit of honor that he is due. If you would, let's pray, and then you can be dismissed, and then we'll go and have some fun and eat. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful today for the word that you've given us. We're so thankful for the message of the hour. And we are especially thankful today for a man who would take up the gauntlet to preach the message of the hour. In the midst of people who criticize, who mock, who turn away from it, he has stood fast and strong for so many years. And I believe by his grace, by your grace, Father, he was a fulfillment of that scripture. He is. And I believe by your grace he will continue to be. And Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you for all that he is to us as a church, as sons, as friends, as family. Lord, we're especially thankful for Brother Barry today. And we ask that you'd give him a blessing as a result of the many labors that he has given to us as a church, perhaps not on this side, but especially on the other side. We thank you so much for his life. We thank you for each other and the church family that we have as a result of his work. We pray that you'd give us these few hours that we have together to have some fun, to enjoy our fellowship together, sanctify the food for our bodies. We thank you for it. And in the gracious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.